Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
With Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was shaking the Monday morning blues with the Duke Time crew, and we talked about things you need to look for in a man to not just protect the women, but also the children. Yes, you got to go back and listen, because the points that were brought up were major. You know, we have a series of stories and news stories and events where, you know, women are choosing men who subsequently hurt and kill their children. And we're not only talking about killing someone else's child, another father's child, but this is sometimes their own children. Last week we talked about the man who actually gave his infant son gasoline to drink. Why? Because he just didn't want him to live. And yesterday we talked about a man who stabbed his ex-girlfriend, and then he kidnapped the little girl that she had and ended up strangling her with a cell phone charger cord. Women, ladies, we're going to have to pay attention. There is no way these signs do not exist prior to these things going on. These men are exemplifying a behavior, attitude. They're saying things that are key warnings to the fact that they pose some level of danger. And again, not just to you, but to your children. And if you manage to survive and the children don't survive, then how is that going to make you feel? How are you going to go in your further in your life if that's what you have in your head, that you chose wrong, what you could have, should have, and would have done? So God is an amazing God, where he is giving us all types of hints, all types of indicators that something is amiss. So come on, let's use that discernment, let's use that sixth sense, let's use that intuition that God gives us, and let's make it count. Let's make it count. Let's not get caught up in our emotions and our feelings and the fact that we want to, you know, have a man so badly. We want to be in a relationship so badly that we really ignore the things that are really sticking out. So discuss what we talked about yesterday with the Big Time crew. Now, I'll switch tips. We had the switch with Shanti, and the switch tip number 196, make sure they can rely on your obedience. Oh, my goodness. Every single individual you have in your life is relying on your obedience. We have to make sure that we're always doing right, because we don't know who's watching us. We don't know who needs us. We don't know who is paying attention to the things that we're doing. So if they're watching us and God has given us a set of instructions, as he has throughout the Bible, then they're watching what you're doing. They're watching how you are responding to things. They're acting. They're watching how, you know, and what you're thinking when you speak. You're putting it out there. You're letting them know. You know, what are you saying to people? How are you letting people know that you are a child of God? The only way people are going to know is by what you say and what you do. And your obedience sets you apart from the rest of the world. That's why we are the peculiar few. Because we're not doing what the rest of the world is doing. We're not acting the way the rest of the world is acting. We are doing what God has for us to do, despite it all. Despite the way we look, despite the way we feel, despite the way, you know, others may be indicating or telling us what to do, how people are telling us to respond. Well, you know, if that was me, but I'm not you. And God may not have you respond in that manner. So make sure that other people can rely on your obedience. Okay? Okay. Well, today, we're not going to be long today. Pastor Steph is on assignment, and I'm being obedient. So follow me, follow me, follow me. All right. We're not going to be long today, but I do look forward to spending this Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day with you. So make sure you get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell somebody that it's Tea Time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
Did you know that lightning strikes the earth over 100 times every second? Every year, U.S. fire departments respond to an estimated 23,000 fires started by lightning. Fires have caused death, injury, and over $500 million in property damage. These fires could have been prevented with a lightning protection system that complies with national safety standards. A lightning protection system grounds lightning into the earth and keeps your family and home unharmed. Help us build lightning-safe communities. Visit lightning.org.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. Yep. We are into the week. And I don't know about you, but I got to talk about the weather. This is beautiful early fall weather. I am so enjoying it, and I hope you are too. You know, I looked at the weather report for the rest of the week. It's going to be a little on the hot side, but definitely not what it has been in the, you know, past month. So it's something to talk about today. All right? So, what are we talking about? Well, listen, last night I came across a practice of a lot of people, and I wanted to make sure that most of you knew that there's something that you may be doing that may not be as safe as you think. And there is one family, unfortunately, out in Kansas who found out that it was not safe to run your dishwasher at night. Now, here's what happens. They say normally people run their dishwashers at night because there's this, you know, what do you call this thing? Normally you kind of set it. You set it to go off. You set it to run. And you then go to bed. And what they're saying is sometimes there's a faulty component inside of the dishwasher. And unfortunately, on August 7th, this family found out the hard way. Yeah. Well, Mrs. Simone, 29, had her family in the home with her two young children and her husband, and she set her washing machine and went to bed. And she said, during the night, the dishwasher caught on fire. So that was within 1 hour, she said, of drifting off to sleep. And unfortunately, they were in the bed. So now, you know, it's one thing to have a fire and everybody's got to get out. It's another thing to be in your bed, everybody's resting, everybody's sleeping. And now you've got to round up everybody and make sure that everyone is now awake and getting, you know, out of that house. So, you know, that got her and her husband up out of the bed. They had to look at the two children. They said they looked in the kitchen and the flames were totally a glowing orange. And all they could ultimately say at the end of the day was that, again, there was something faulty inside of the dishwasher. Yeah. So, you know, they say, please do not any longer go to sleep, go to bed with your dishwasher running or set to run. So she says, well, going forward for her, it will only be done when it is the daytime, when she is awake and alert, and God forbid if something happens, she can now get up and address the matter or get up and get out the house. You know, it's different. It's just different than being in your bed and having to get up and run, right? You got animals or, you know, anything else outside of your children, you know, then everybody's got to try to get up out of there. So thank God that she and her family are doing okay. And there was no damage to the lives. But she said her house is a mess. It was so bad that they can't get in there for about 6 months. At least 6 months. So, we got to make sure we spread that news, okay? So nothing else goes on that we're not aware of, okay? What else are we talking about today on this Tuesday? Well, here's something a little fun. You know, we'd like to give us some little trivia stuff. They took a survey, and they talked about the things that were very common back in the day, but could not be done today at all. What? You know, and you know how I want you to do. You know what I want you to do. I need you to hit me up. You know, think about some of the things, especially those of us who are Gen Ys. You know, what are some of the things that used to go on when we were kids that you better not do today? Whether you would be reprimanded for it, whether you would be arrested for it, whether you would be made fun of, whatever. Hit me up and let me know, you know, what comes to your mind. But I'm going to go through this list over here. And one of the things, and we talk about this quite often, scolding someone else's child. Now, that was the thing to do back in the day. If you saw somebody's kid, whether it was a stranger or not, you could definitely say something to us. And we were too afraid to respond or to be disrespectful, right? And so, you know, the person lists, hey, you know, back in the day, you used to scold someone else's child. I remember getting corrected by strangers, and I did too. You know, if we were too loud on the bus, you know, that somebody would say, you know, can y'all, you know, be a little quiet or say that today. Yo, those kids would be all kinds of disrespectful. All kinds of disrespectful. Well, listen, here's one that was brought up to me recently. They said, long gone the days that you just stop by somebody's house unannounced. Well, I got to tell y'all, you couldn't do it back in the day with my mother, and you can't do it now with us. I remember if you would come by our house when I was growing up and somebody knocked on the door unexpectedly, do you remember they used to tell you to they used to tell you to be quiet and pretend like nobody was home? Give me a thumbs up if you remember them telling you, shh, don't go to that door. Now, if somebody knocks on our door, we are like, who is he? Who is that? Now, it's funny because back in the day, my house was not a Christian home. No. Mama wasn't Christian, and you are actually knocking on a Christian door, but I tell you, that just ain't no, that just my thing. That is not no my thing. Do not go to somebody's house unannounced. Yeah, I got a thumbs up. Thank you so much, because that is just not the thing to do. Like I said, in my house, it wasn't the thing to do. And I know back in the day, you know, you had other people, you know, they would, you know, tell, come on by whenever you want to. I don't tell nobody that. Although the invitation is there, it's just please don't, just call me. And, you know, the person is saying, you know, stopping by somebody's house unannounced is not the thing to do. And especially when you got a phone in your pocket. Listen, let the truth be told. I don't want you to call me and I'm not prepared for your phone call. I talk from 7 o'clock in the morning. I just don't want to talk all the time. So, listen, it is quite interesting, you know, those couple of things that, you know, even just those two alone, what else are they talking about? Oh, they say you can't touch strangers. So, you know, they're bringing up the fact, remember years ago, we used to be able to, like, if you saw somebody's tag hanging, you could actually, you know, reach out and fix the person's, you know, clothes or, you know, and it would be nothing. And they turn around and they say, oh, okay, thank you. You better not try that today. You better not put your hand on people today. Because they would think you're going in their bag. They would think you're going in their pocket. And you that would just be too close within their space. So ain't nobody trying to know you reaching out, even if it means something, you know, good intent. Nah, don't try this at home. Don't try this at home. What else are they talking about? Y'all, remember this? Bullying. Now, we didn't look at it as bullying back then. Remember, this person is saying bullying was acceptable, and a lot of times it was encouraged by teachers or parents because they felt that it would make you tough. And now, when you look back on that, you're like, yo, really? Yo, they used to tell people to do that? You know, you'd like, that you would be like punished severely. Yeah. So, you know, bullying is bullying. Even if you are encouraged to do so, even if, you know, they think it's going to come up, you know, on the good side and you will benefit from it. No. No, we can't do that. We can't do that, y'all. We can't do that. What else are they talking about? Oh, they came up with a good one. Kissing, hugging, and being forced to dance with a creepy relative. Yo, I remember seeing, you know, I told you, my parents were out all the time. They took us everywhere they went. And you would, you know, you would see, like, kids dancing. Maybe they dance with Uncle So-and-so, dance with Cousin So-and-so, and they look so uncomfortable. Even a couple of times I remember people, like, crying. And you couldn't quite understand, but now as you are older, you're like, wow, I remember when so-and-so used to do that, or so-and-so used to, you know, say, you know, it's all right, good. Well, I remember back in the day, how many of you, give me a thumbs up, how many of you would be called to dance in front of your parents' friends? They would get you up out the, yes, I'm telling on them. They would get you out the bed to dance. Come on, dance. Or they call you out the room, you're looking at TV, minding your business, and they'd be like, come on, dance. You're like, I don't want to dance. Come on, dance. Do you remember that? Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. Well, someone else brought up that years ago, women would be pressured to wear foundation garments to work. And even brings up that back in the 80s, when they were going to school, they say one of their friends got sent home for not wearing a bra to high school. Now, I was an 80s high school girl. I started in 1980, and I graduated in 84. And I don't quite remember that. I don't remember that, but it wasn't the thing to do. It's not the thing to do. It was not the thing to do. I'm getting some memes, y'all, of the Harlem Shake. Y'all are bad. But it wasn't the thing to do, you know, to you wouldn't go to school with no bra on. I always remember some of my friends or classmates going to school with no bra on. Did they do that? I guess so. But, yeah, somebody says that they weren't a good dancer back when they were kids, so I guess it wasn't fun. Wow. What else are they saying? They've got some good stuff here. Oh, remember this? We brought this up also. Remember the vending machines that used to hold the cigarettes? Your parents would, you would see kids, like, just going to the vending machine, or kids at the, what do you call it, at the store buying cigarettes or buying, like, beer. Man, yes. Yes, yes. You would go to the store and you'd see them kids drop that stuff on that counter and they just scoop up that money from them kids. And, yo, it was like nothing. Now, well, quite some time, a couple of decades now, we've got those those stickers on the counter that say, if you weren't born before, remember? They don't have them anymore because they're too scared. Somebody said, selling to the kids. Whoa, okay. Well, I remember the stickers on the counter that say, if you weren't born before 1982, we can't sell you cigarettes. You know, we can't sell you beer or whatever that was. So, somebody says my mom, that was me. My mom sent a note and I was able to buy cigarettes. Wow, all it took was a note. And that got done. Somebody sent in, not us, but they listed kids mixing alcohol drinks for guests at home. Wow, that must have been on the other side of the fence. I don't remember that. I tell you, my parents were out all the time. I do not remember the kids mixing the drinks. I remember the kids were always sent to the room. But, you know, I remember that part. I don't remember that part. Oh, they listed strangers coming up to a new mother and saying, what a cute baby. May I hold them? Yeah, remember that? Remember that? It would be nothing for you to, like, put your hand out. I mean, I wasn't, you know, doing that with people's children. But do you remember the people say, oh, can I hold her? And people say, sure. Y'all have time changed, y'all. Oh, no. Here's the thing that I remember big time. Do you remember road trip? Everybody and their mama got up in their car, sat on laps. I remember one time I had a van, me and my kids went to 7-Eleven. And all the kids on the block wanted to go. And when I looked, they were all on the floor. And they were like, I'm all right, Miss Stephanie, I'm all right. And I pulled off. It didn't matter. And we weren't going to get a slew of Slurpees. One person got a Slurpee out of the entire group. But I remember we used to go with family. Everybody, okay, well, you sit on so-and-so's lap, and you sit on so-and-so's lap, and you sit on so-and-so's lap, and everybody just piled in the car. Man, remember back in the day, those cars didn't even have seatbelts, so the issue of seatbelts weren't even an issue, right? Wow. So that's some fun stuff. Going down memory lane at some things that we used to do back in the day, but we wouldn't even consider doing now. Wouldn't even consider doing it now. Either people, like I said, would make fun of you, or people would talk about you, or people just look at you like you're crazy, or even kill you these days for some of these things. So, what are we talking about today? What kind of news we got today? Well, you know what? I want to talk about this. You know, we're always talking about the negative things. I want to talk about the positive things. There's this gentleman out in Florida who, he said back in the day, he was a mess. He was a mess. He used to sell drugs. He used to stay in trouble, and, you know, something been in his life where, you know, it gave him a jolt. He realized that he needed to fix his life, and he did fix his life. And what he now does, he decided back in the day to get, barber. He decided to go to barber school, And after a while, he decided, you know what? I'm going to open up my own barbershop. And he now, check this out, what he does. He gets little boys to get free haircuts. He gives away free haircuts if they agree to read a book while they're in his chair. Yeah. So how many people is he blessing now? He said that to date, let me see how many books he says he's given away. Because you're allowed to keep the book if you read the book. He said because he wants them to build their own library in their home. He said to date, since he started this initiative, he's given out 15,000 books to 15,000 kids. Wow. So, he says on an average, he makes sure that he gets 24 kids a month. At least 24 kids a month. He said, but since he started doing this, he's been able to bless quite a few boys. And, you know, think about how many single parent homes he's affected. What a blessing. What a blessing. So I came across that story and I was like, you know what? I want to definitely talk about this. We're always talking about the negative things men do. But out in St. Petersburg, Florida, we want to give a shout out to Mr. Antonio Brown, who owns the Central Station Barbershop and Room. That's the name of his business. Keep them reading. Keep them reading. Good for you. Good for you. All right. Okay, what are we talking about in the news today? Let's see. You know what? Let's talk about this one. This is really weird. So they have this hotel room for free, absolutely free. You can sign up to get this hotel room at no charge whatsoever. I'm trying to see. Oh, it's in another country. I do know that. I'll come across it. But they have no walls. What we would normally get for walls, it's glass. Yes. And everybody can walk past this glass room. It has a full-size bed. It has, like, all the room contents, desk and everything. And people are sweeping, cleaning the hallway. And you can be seen laying in your bed, sitting up. It doesn't matter. And here's the thing. They say that the lights never go out. No. So the lights never go out, like, in the hallway. So all night long, the lights are on. So you are exposed all day and all night. And they say that it is really something that is quite interesting. People have written in, and you know people are going to ask this question, you know, are there any restrictions? And you know why they're asking questions like that. They're freaks. You know, who would want to be doing all of that? But what it is ultimately it's an art museum. Yeah. You know, so it's a museum where they pull up all different types of art. And this room is considered an art room. So this is one of the reasons why it's exposed. I don't know if, you know, I'd be interested in, you know, having a free room and I'm exposed 100% all day, all night. There's no privacy at all. No privacy whatsoever. So, you know, listen, I guess they get people to, you know, come by. If you can view people in a hotel room, then you would be willing to see whatever else is actually going on in the museum too, I guess. I don't know. What else are we talking about today? Let's see. That's some couple of interesting things. So, you know, I remember telling you all, you know, when I was growing up, me and my sister, we were not allowed to argue. That was just a no-no. Didn't matter what the issues were, you were not allowed to argue. And, you know, back then, I'm not really an argumentative person. So that didn't really bother me then. But as I got older and I started to see the risks in family, then I kind of understood what the goal was when you said, you know, you're not allowed to argue or fight in family. Well, somebody should have taught this to this guy who has a twin sister, or should I say had a twin sister, this Jonathan Hagley. Well, the story is very plain and simple. He and his sister got into it. They got into an argument, and he pulled out a gun, and he shot her. He simply shot and killed her. Shot her 3 times because of a dispute. Now, here's the interesting part of this particular story. They say that, you know, that he's been charged with murder. He's been charged with possession of a weapon. He's been charged with obstruction of justice because he was trying to flee the scene. And this happened in New Jersey. Well, they say that he was out on bail. He was out on bail while he did the shooting. They say in Harlem, the police responded to some scene back in January, where there was a 37-year-old bystander who was shot in the spine while a shooting took place in broad daylight. This Jonathan Hagley was also injured at the time. The following month, this Jonathan and another individual were arrested and charged with intention to murder, assault with serious injury, criminal possession and use of a firearm, reckless endangerment, and more. This is the following month after he was injured in a shooting in the broad daylight. And all of this has been going on with him. Why is he out on bond when he previously, now we're not even talking about these things, back in 2018, he served a 7-year sentence after he pled guilty to aggravated assault, burglary, and weapons charges for an attempted robbery. So, are you serious? Check this out. He also has an assault charge while awaiting trial for a previously stabbing a fellow inmate. While he pre- Okay, so what in the world are y'all waiting for? Well, he finally killed his sister, his twin sister, and now he's going back to jail. So he served all this time. He's been committing crimes ever since he's been out of jail. He was out on bond, and exactly what y'all were waiting for happened. Who turns these people loose? Who does this over and over and over again? They are proving that they are not model citizens. They are proving that this is not no one-shot deal, and y'all just keep letting these people out. Thank God you don't have to explain to somebody else's family. This is old family this go round. And by far, I'm not saying good for her. But what I'm saying is a lot of times now you got to explain to somebody else's family that you didn't let these people out, and now they end up killing their family. Well, their own, his own family has to eat. Whatever has gone on, his own family has had to eat this. Crazy. Speaking of crazy and people just doing what they do, in the Bronx, you've got who they are calling a vicious duo. They are wreaking havoc in the Bronx. This woman and this man, this couple, they are known for quite a few incidences where they have committed crimes. You have one who's had 10 prior arrests, petty larceny and all kinds of things. And then you've got another individual who's got a host of charges. And again, they just keep letting these people out. Well, now an 80-year-old woman has been their latest victim. And they said that, 82 to be exact, and they said that for no apparent reason, they attacked her. Second and third degree assault they're being charged with, and they are continually doing this. So now you've gone to court. Your attorneys have asked for one thing. The prosecutors have asked for either $30,000 cash or $90,000 bond. And guess what? They got neither. Yeah. The judge let them go. The judge decided to cut the suspects loose on supervised release. Well, who was supervising them when they were beating up the 82-year-old woman for no reason? How do you explain this to her family? Horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. You know, I got to tell you, in the news last night, it wasn't a whole lot of stuff. More than this whole Trump and Kamala business, that's all you're able to hear about over and over and over again. I mean, that's all I could find. That's all I could find. And between that, you saw all the crazy news. All the crazy, crazy news. So I'm not going to ask the D-Time crew, you know, what they feel about these people being let go and how much time they should get and stuff like that. But we're going to talk about some other stuff today. Let me say good morning to Pastor Jeff. Good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
How are you, Pastor Jeff?
Good, and you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm fine. So, Pastor Jeff, I started off this morning coming across an article that talked about the things that we used to do years ago that we could never do now. And someone wrote in, let me see, they wrote in, I remember riding Greyhound and my mom had a Tupperware bowl of chicken that she fed everybody from. Oh, those were the good old days. Remember you used to travel with your chicken and your potato salad, Pastor Jeff?
Hold on,
is that
left.
You?
That one?
Huh? Are you breaking up, Pastor Jeff? Because I can't hear you.
I said I don't remember none of that. That wasn't me.
You didn't travel with potato salad and chicken, fried chicken?
No. I guess I wasn't black.
Well, listen, I ain't going to say all of that, Pastor Jeff, but I will say that you are one of the rare individuals that traveled and did not have that package.
We never traveled on Greyhound or
no,
none of that.
It didn't matter with Greyhound. No, this particular person said they remember, you know, traveling with Greyhound, but that wasn't my experience. My experience was whenever we went on a road trip, we pulled out the fried chicken and the potato salad. So name something, Pastor Jeff, that years ago you could do, but you better not do it now. And some of the stuff that has come up was you better not get a polyp in that car and ain't nobody got no seatbelt on. Remember, do you remember that, Pastor Jeff? Everybody used to get
well,
up and go.
I definitely remember
back.
That. We never had on seatbelts, and we were piled up in the car, you know, because,
yes.
You know, my mother had five kids, so.
Okay.
Yes. But that chicken and potato salad, now I don't remember traveling with that.
You missed out.
We would stop. Yeah, we would stop and get something to eat on the road.
and I don't care what you got on that road. Didn't taste like that potato salad and chicken. I don't care how much you spent. None tastes like that potato salad and chicken. What else do you remember, Pastor Jeff, years ago that you would do, but you better not get caught doing it now, whether people would talk about you, make fun of you, whether you get locked up for it now? What comes to your mind?
Man, I can't even think of nothing.
Oh, okay. I can't think of nothing. All right. Well, let me pull up Pastor KL and maybe he can help jog your memory. Because I know he got some of you too. Good morning, Pastor. What else did Pastor do? Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
All right, but first I want to say, so as you was talking to Pastor Jeff, and he talked about he had an experienced chicken, I had to go on Facebook because I said, you know, I've been on this thing for a year with him, and all this time I thought he was black. But I had to go on Facebook just to find out, you know, whether he was black or not. Because I remember the chicken in the aluminum foil. To keep it warm.
Okay.
You know, and we were so poor, we wasn't able to stop and get something to eat. The only time we stopped to eat is if we needed gas. So it was no luxury stop. So I was wondering, you know, what was he of the Caucasian persuasion? But I was just wondering.
Well, listen,
my DNA
say I'm 25% white, so maybe that part came out.
I was
a lot lighter when I was a kid.
You gravitated to that side.
I knew Pastor KL would remember the chicken and the potato salad. And straight up, it was wrapped in aluminum foil. And let me tell you something. You had to eat it because it was smelling up the car.
That's right.
I thought we were poor, but now y'all making me think that maybe I we had a little money coming up then, I guess. I don't know.
Pastor Jeff,
yes, you
Pastor, Jeff you were, Pastor Jeff, you were privileged.
I guess I was, but I do remember eating jam sandwiches, two pieces of bread jammed together and nothing to put in between it. So I thought I was poor.
Oh my goodness gracious!
So we used to iron our grilled cheese sandwiches with the iron. I remember that.
You did that, Pastor Jeff. Jeez.
Yeah.
So,
wow. We used the iron.
Okay. So that now I understand cheese. You were poor behind closed doors, but bougie on the outside.
I think we were so poor we couldn't have the chicken with the tinfoil.
Oh my gosh. All right, Pastor Kale, we're talking about things that you used to do back in the day that you bet not do now, or you won't have the same repercussions.
Yeah, I remember being a child, in the car. We used to turn around on our knees, my siblings
Ooh.
And I, looking out the back window, talk about, that's my car. That's my car. That's
Ooh,
my car.
Remember that? I remember that. Yo, that's my car. That's my car. Yo, I wouldn't even remember that. That didn't even come to my mind.
Mm.
Wow. Okay. All right, Pastor Jeff, did that spark something in your memory?
I mean, it did, but I guess I don't have too many childhood memories. I don't know. like I said, we took long road trips and we did stop and get to eat,
Pastor
so
Jeff,
I guess, like
Pastor
I said,
Jeff.
I guess we must have had more than I thought we had.
Pastor Jeff, you would have never been on an episode of Good Times. They wouldn't even have
No. But it was a lot of us, so we had plenty of food stamps. And back in the days, I don't remember, did they let you spend food stamps on the road?
Yeah, you could spend food stamps wherever.
So that's probably what we did, because I don't remember packing no food. I think it was too many of us, and there was no room for no food. To pack.
To put the food.
Back in those days of food stamps, we didn't have no EBT card. We had a book. When they say a book of stamps,
we had the book.
Right.
We had a book of stamps. We had the paper money.
You better not bust the book. Remember, they wouldn't allow you to bust the book. If you
That's
to
right.
Use a
and
five,
you better not,
you
better not drop it nowhere.
Book. That's right.
Yep. It used to be embarrassing. My mother would pull out all the books.
Yep.
Stand in it.
Hey, but now people are selling stamps and everybody buying it. Ain't nobody embarrassed no more.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a young lady in the supermarket a couple of weeks ago, and she walked up on me with a little girl in her stroller, and she said to me, she said, "Are you buying your food with cash or a card?" And first of all, you don't ask people that question these days. So I'm going to tell you whether I got cash in my bag, in my pocket. But when I looked down at the baby, I was like, oh, okay, she's trying to sell her stamps. So I said, listen, I don't have any cash. I'm so sorry. And my thing was, I would not have bought her anything off her EBT card. Because you get your EBT card for you and your child. And I understand the plight I understand, you know, you may need the money right now, but I would have given her money. It just so happens I don't work with cash. And that was one of the first days in a long time where I really felt bad that I didn't have any cash on me. You know, I was like, oh, man, I got to put at least $5, $10 in my pocket. I am a strictly card girl, and I don't care what it's for. I'm pulling my card out. I just don't carry cash. And, you know, yes, they are still doing this. And the little girl in the car, in the stroller couldn't have been no more than maybe about 3. So I'm saying to myself, you're selling your food stamps. What happens later when you need to eat? What happens with that? So I don't know. What would you do, Kathy Jeff, if someone, you know, walked up on you and asked for that?
I don't give them nothing, because my thing is, most of the time, if they're selling their stamps, they want the cash to do something wrong and take from the kids. She's selling the kids food, and what she wants, mm-hmm. her cigarette or her mm-hmm. alcohol or mm-hmm. her drugs. Mm-hmm. Okay? So you ain't selling it to pay no rent, you know, most likely. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you ain't getting it from me, and I'm going to get mad at you when you got your little kid. I get mad when they bring their little kid up trying to get something from me, you know, mm-hmm. like you pimping your child.
Yeah.
And see, I know a lot of people like that, and that's exactly what they do. The kid goes mm-hmm. out. They be selling the kids food, you know, mm-hmm. wicked mm-hmm. everything, you know. So,
yeah.
Nope,
yeah.
You ain't getting nothing from me.
Okay.
The fact that you got food
oh, I'm
stamps.
Sorry. Go ahead, Pastor Jeff.
No, I'm saying the fact that you got food stamps, I know you eating. I know you can eat.
Right.
Now, if you need food,
right.
If you need food, I'll buy it for you. But, nope, you ain't
okay.
getting no money from me.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm not. That's, you know, that's the first thing I think of. I think of the fact that, you know, what are you doing with the, you know, stamps? And she would have had me. I got to tell you, she would have had me because, you know, most times, they look suspect. She didn't look suspect. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not. That's not what I'm saying. But she would have had me that day. She would have had me that day. And I was like, okay, I got to put a couple dollars in my pocket. But I definitely would not have bought her food stamps. And, you know, some people do. Pastor KL.
Yes. Well, I'm a little different. Well, let me say I've had been a little different. I knew a young lady who was, she was in trouble. Her lights was out, and she had three children, and she needed help. And she asked, can she buy my groceries, and I give her the cash so she can go get a payment plan on her lights. As you know, when your lights are out, there is no payment plan. You are done. You know what I mean? So she was trying to, scrape up money so she could pay her bill. So I've had considered and done that.
Okay. Pastor Jeff, would you have done that?
I would have not believed the story from a stranger.
Okay,
but if somebody that I know, if it's somebody that I know, I'd have went and paid the light bill, because I've done that a few times.
Okay.
Well, no, I got to get a piece of chicken out of it so I can put it in that runner's wrap.
You know, leave it to him, Pastor Jeff. Leave it to him. Oh, my goodness. Oh, gosh. Well, you know what? You know, in that particular instance, Pastor KL, Pastor Jeff, you know, like you said, if someone you know, I would help you with your, you know, utility bills. I've done that also, you know, before. And, you know, because sometimes people just go on a hard time. And my thing is, no, go ahead, keep your food, you know. because I'll need you coming back later tomorrow. Now I'm hungry. I know you probably ain't lying because you didn't tell me your food stamps. So we're going to make sure your lights are on and you eat. So, yeah, you know, I've had people actually call and ask me, would I mind helping? You know, they wouldn't mind buying me some food. And, you know, we're just blessed like that, but we don't ever need no food to date. And I'm like, no, we good. Whatever I can do to help you pay, you know, put your lights on. Or if this was the latest one with somebody's gas. The gas was off and school was starting. I was like, oh, Lord. You know, now the kids got to go to school and they can't take a hot shower. And, you know, so there are times when people you know kind of get a little jammed out. And, you know, you end up stretching yourself for them. So, well, that was a little going down some memory lane stuff. Now, let me check out our news. I saw a couple of stories, and I was like, you know what, we got to talk about this. And I knew Shantice would not be on with us today. I'm not able to be on with us today. But I wanted to talk to you gentlemen and, you know, keeping it clean. You have this model out in, and maybe you've seen it on the news or something, out in one of the other countries. She's British, and she has her own, she has a what do you call those things, that OnlyFans page. And she's been on social media, on her Instagram. She has been seen, and she has videotaped her going in a supermarket, pulling off her underwear, and putting it in the food area. So one of the more recent ones was her putting it in, like, the, not the freezer section, but the cool, like, where you keep cheese and butter, that part of the store. And she ended up having her her Instagram page taken down. And some people, you know, thought it was cute, as always. And you had another group of people who said she needs to be arrested because, you know, she has been leaving the video note saying, I've left a little gift for you. And they have another video of her actually leaving her underwear in a, what do you call those things? Like where you get chips from? You can get chips and cookies. They showed her leaving her underwear there. She has another video where she has her underwear. She's leaving in the baked goods section. So people are like, listen, arrest her already. It's unsanitary. It's unsafe. She's tampering with people's food. And we need to do something about her. Y'all need to do something about her. And taking down her Facebook, her Instagram page, and there's no punishment, is unacceptable. Pastor Jeff, which way do you go with this?
Lock her butt up, oh nasty behind woman. Anybody want your panties all around stuff that I got to eat? You know what I'm saying? You know, that grossed me out. You let me be in there and I see it. You know, I don't hit a woman, but that right there make me want to slap you. You don't play with my food. Don't play nothing that going in my mouth. You know what I'm saying? She need to be arrested.
Ew. All right, Pastor Jeff says, arrest her. Pastor KL.
Well, most of you guys know that I'm the jokester, but I find nothing funny or cute with this at all. Nothing at all. You definitely need to go to jail. You know, and then for you to keep on bragging about it, because that's what you're doing every time you post it. You know, I left you a surprise as if I was, you know, intentionally looking for something. No, when I go and I want to squeeze my melons, I don't want nothing extra with my melons. That's all I want to bring home. You know, and now I see why Mama and Grandmother always say, make sure you wash your fruit before you eat it. You don't never know what's in it.
Absolutely. If it's fruit, if it's vegetables, I take it home and I wash it with soap. Oh, yeah. And I just got to rinse it well.
Do you remember when they was going around opening the ice cream and licking it and closing it back in the supermarkets? You remember?
I remember that.
Yeah, it was not too long ago that people thought that was funny. You let me see somebody in the supermarket do that mess. I might catch a case because I have a real problem with that mess, man. I never, from a child, don't play with my food. Don't, you know, nothing going in my mouth. Don't play. I don't even like people talking on my food. That's why I hate to, you know, like when I used to go to House of Pancakes and stuff like that, and they had the food sitting up there on the counter, everybody just talking before the waitress bring your food. I used to say something. I just came back from Ohio, you know, me and my family, and we stopped at some place to get something to eat, and the guy kept talking while he was making my food, and I was getting angry, and my wife had to, you know, calm me down. So I'm like, you know, sir, can I get my food? Y'all can hold this conversation later. Give me my food, because I don't like that. I don't like that. You know, that'll make me want to hurt somebody. Don't play at my food. Don't talk over it. Don't, you know, just give me mine, and then you hold your conversation.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Pastor Jeff. I was away. We went to a restaurant, and this was just like within the last couple of weeks. And the server came and put my water down, and she put it at the end of the table. I was sitting on the outside. She put it at the end of the table. So she came back to the table, and she was talking. And when she stepped away, I just looked down at my water. I was like, okay, I can't drink this. Because she'd been talking all over my water. I was so upset. I could identify with what she's talking about. I was so upset. And so when she came back, I said, hi, can I have a glass of water, please? And she said, oh, it's here. I said, no, not that one. I said, can I have a new glass, please? And she was like, oh, sure. And it was just like, yo, you didn't realize you were saying no, my water talking. And I was like, okay, you should have moved it when, you know, she put it down. But I just didn't think of it. But after, when I went to look at it, to actually drink it, I was like, I can't drink this. She's been talking all over the place. So, yeah, Pastor Jeff, I'm with you. Please don't do all that talking over my food. Just give me my food and just go. Go. You ain't got to stay here.
I know they be trying to get bigger tips, but, you know, trying to be friendly. But I like my waiters and waitresses to be less friendly. Drop my food. Don't conversate.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm definitely with you. All righty. We have this other issue, and you know, again, keep it clean, gentlemen. There's a pole dancer who is in a wheelchair. She spends all her time in a wheelchair until it's time to get on the pole. Now, she says that they have to be really creative. The people who are teaching her this pole dancing has to be really creative because she's limited, I hope so, you know, from, you know, the waist down. But she still can manage to get on this pole. And so they've created or come up with different moves for her in order to get her on the pole and off the pole and able to get people to pay for her services. Ah! So now there's a belief that she's really not wheelchair-bound. And they're like, okay, you're fake. So we're not servicing. You know, you can't service us. We don't want to see you. Because if we see you, because they literally have to roll her to the pole in her wheelchair. And then she gets on the pole. What's your thought? Pastor Jeff, you know I'm going to start with you.
Well, my thoughts is, I mean, if you're in a wheelchair, that means you're, I guess, possibly paralyzed somewhere. And I don't know how you could really work a pole with legs that don't work. You know, and my baby brother, he's in a wheelchair, and he has to have a bag, you know, for his urine, you know, because he don't know when he, I guess, got to go and all of that. And my thought,
okay,
if I see a woman, I'm like, you got a bag swinging on that pole, and you know, that's not gonna turn me on.
Oh my! Oh my God! Oh my God!
What about I just trying to get this bag?
You ain't getting my dollars. Not with that nastiness going around the pole. I'm a very nice nasty person, so the slightest little thing could turn me off. And you know, if I'm dating a girl and I smell something that ain't right, you know, anything, I'm done. So the slightest little thing could turn me off. So that swinging around the pole, you in a wheelchair is definitely a negative. I don't know how anybody could get turned on. I mean, I guess unless I don't know. I guess people can get turned up by anything, I guess. I don't know. But, nah, man. Yeah. Figure something else out to do in your wheelchair.
All righty. Ah, Pastor KL. You know, they push her to the pole in her wheelchair, and they put on the pole, and she does whatever she does. She does her routine.
I really can't see it. I mean, you're already giving yourself a lap dance. I can't see you doing nothing else. You know, I'm having problems visualizing all of this. And then if I gotta boost you up on the pole, you know, then do I have to spin you around too so that you can, you know what I mean? How does that work? I'm just trying to understand what is the sexiness of this. You know, you are paraplegic in a thong. That's not sexy. You know what I mean? That's not the look I'm looking for. You know what I mean? Listen, I only got $2 left. I'm not spending my $2 on you.
So my goodness. Well, I have to tell you both that even as a woman, I was quite puzzled. They showed pictures of her on the pole, and her legs were absolutely straight. So I was, but they didn't show another picture. They didn't show a video. So it was very hard for me as well to envision, you know, when you normally see, you know, the women on the pole and they're able to do all kinds of flips and stuff like that. They showed two pictures separately of her being on the pole, and I guess her instructors, you know, helping to position her, you know, one way or another. And that's where they were saying in the caption that, you know, they are very creative with coming up with, you know, something for her because of her disability. And my personal feeling was, okay, I'm disabled. Now, I'm not as disabled as she is. But once you are, once you realize you're disabled, there's just certain things you got to give up. I'm sorry. Certain dreams have to go into the sea of forgetfulness. And I cannot imagine. I'm serious. It's because I'm speaking from personal things. You know, when, you know, one of the things, when you become disabled, it's a hard pill to swallow that you cannot do the things that you once could do. And, you know, some people have a really, 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 really difficult time of absorbing that. And my thing was, okay, so, all right, Stephanie, you envisioned yourself being a pole dancer, and then you became a paraplegic. Well, I'm sorry. You're going to have to give that up. You're going to have to give that thought up. You're going to have to give that thought. It is not something that you're going to be able to hold on to. And when I saw the picture of her in, when I saw the picture of her in this, on this pole, and the people, they just, they're standing beside her, holding her up, and I'm saying to myself, okay, so when are you going to let this thought go? Because I could not imagine being a man or women these days and looking at this and becoming, you know, excited. I just couldn't. I'm like, well, what do you, you know, what do you have to offer? You're going to have to, you know, just say, I'm sorry. You know, this is part of my life that I cannot fulfill any longer. So I can definitely understand and agree with you both, because that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me either.
Preacher, but you preach and tell the people that they can, if they just believe, they can, you know, move mountains.
Hey, wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. Hey, Pastor Jeff.
Yes.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
See, you got him started.
So, and now you telling her she got to give it up. That
oh,
to me, you know, I don't understand, preacher. You know,
hey,
why she got to give it up?
I will do a new thing in you.
She's gonna do
a new thing, all right. She's sliding down that pole and don't know when she got to go to the bathroom.
I'm just not that kind of preacher. I'm just not that kind of preacher. I'm not going to try to make you believe that there are things that, you know, you can do. Like I said, as a disabled person, I realize I can't go all day long without taking a nap. That's just not my ability these days. I had to give up the thought that I could actually wake up when I get on the broadcast with y'all at 7 o'clock. We hang up at 9. I need a nap. I cannot function. And if I have
what happened to raising the dead, though? You know?
Well, you know what? Jesus has not allowed me, Pastor Jeff, to do my 7 or 9 in the morning with y'all, and I still function normally. I did, like, today, yesterday, other days. I actually have to do things, you know, right after the show, and it's a killer. So
where's
I'm
your face?
Where's our face?
You know what, Pastor Jeff? You need to speak to these dead bones, because I'm telling you, it ain't working.
I see that. I'm gonna have to come over there and speak to them bones.
Okay, I know my limitations, Pastor Jeff, and I ain't trying to push myself past my limitations. So, you know, my thought was really scratching my head yesterday, last night, when I was looking at these pictures of this woman. And my thing is the fact that they had to even carry you, push you in the wheelchair to pull was enough for me. I was like, okay, that's just way too much for me. All right, one more.
Pass the step.
Yes.
She was at the pool.
You know what? Did I tell you don't get him started? See what you did, Pastor.
You look, and you're gonna have a complaint that she got nobody to put her in.
Right. You see.
Y'all don't know when to stop. All right. Got one more dilemma, and this is really, really, you know, I don't know, but this is very interesting. So there is a school crossing guard. There's who they call a beloved school crossing guard in Australia. And he's been out there for quite a few years. The children love him. And he's known for high-fiving the students. He's even known for high-fiving the students in a car. So the parents who are dropping him off actually slow down so he can give them a high five. And the kids really look forward to it and feel that that's very encouraging to them. The parents love him. They have come together to get him some type of special recognition for being the school crossing guard he is and who he has been. And now there's a parent who has made an official complaint. And because she's made this official complaint, they have stopped him from high-fiving the children because she's complained that there should not be any contact, any physical, unhealthy contact between these adults and the children. And she doesn't quite care about what the parents think, about, you know, for the mass majority of the parents, what they think. She feels that, you know what? I don't think it's safe. I don't think it's healthy. She has made an official complaint, and they have sided with her and shut him down. He can no longer high-five the children, and the parents and the children are really upset. They have taken to getting signatures. They have over, let me make sure I got this right. Hold on. Make sure I got this right. If I can remember correctly, they said they had like over 5,000 signatures because they supposedly even went back. He's been out there for so long that they've gone to former students and parents, so forth and so on. What's your thought on this? Should there be no contact? They have not had any complaints. So in other words, there have been no complaints that he's done anything other than high five. No other parent or children or child or whatever have had a complaint that he's said anything sideways, he's done anything illegal or immoral, but they have stopped it because this parent has a complaint. What do you think, Pastor Jeff?
These are the times that we're living in, and if I was him, I would shut it down because somebody's going to falsely accuse him of doing something if he doesn't shut it down. They're going to say he touched the child inappropriately. You know, if I was him, for his sake, I'd shut it down. You know, I mean, it's a fight going on now, and, you know, he did it for many, you know, many years, whatever. And he got, you know, it was okay. But now, the time we living in, it ain't okay. And the kids just going to have to grow up and realize the times they live in it, okay, and let it go. Because I wouldn't play with that. I wouldn't, you know. It always takes one child to lie and say, he touched me, you know. And if I was him, I'd leave it alone, especially with a complaint out there now. You know, somebody will set him up. So I would just leave it alone.
Okay, okay. Pastor KL.
Yeah, I'm just about in agreement with Pastor Jeff. You know, Karens are stronger than we think and than we know. You know, and these are a lot of Karens. You know, I mean, unfortunately, Karen has stopped the motivation for a lot of the children. A lot of the children start their day off, and they were motivated by this. So Karen doesn't understand the imprint it had. However, you know, it only takes one Karen, you know, to call you out or to get somebody involved. You know, this is what voting is about. You know, it's about that campaign because we don't know these people personally, but the campaign is what's drawing you. So if Karen has a strong enough campaign, she can draw a lot of folks to be against you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay. I actually happen to agree with you both. You know, you had a wonderful ride. This worked. This was a wonderful thing. You know, if they could actually get 5,000 people to, you know, sign a petition that says, you know, we love Mr. Mike, and he has been a wonderful motivation for our children. He's been a shining light on this corner. He has been a blessing. Then take that, and I agree with you, understand that the times are what they are now. And, you know, we just got finished opening up this morning with the thing that, you know, we could do back in the day that we couldn't do it. We just can't do anymore. And add this to, yeah, you know, it's something as simple as a high five is tarnished by, you know, who Pastor KL is labeling Karen. And, you know, for whatever the reason is, she's miserable. And she's smart enough to know that, you know, this is still a touchy subject. You know, children being in direct contact, I don't care how many parents love this individual. I don't care how many parents, you know, appreciate him. I'm going to stir the pot. And for whatever the reason is, she's stirring the pot. She's, you know, she's making a lot of people unhappy. But she's shutting it down. And should we look at it? Let me put it like this. Should we look at it, and Pastor Jeff kind of touched on this. Should we look at it as, you know what, maybe God is putting that blockage there so that no one can? Because we don't know what would have happened, whether, you know, are we going to leave it there long enough for someone to be able to make that claim? And once that person makes that claim, what's the petition going to do? Nothing. You're going to be sitting up in court. You're going to be fighting, you know, for your integrity, for your, you know, your life, for your freedom, possibly. So, you know, did God possibly, you know, put something there to stop it before it could happen? You know, we need to consider that. So, yeah, I agree with both of you. You know what? Take your you know, high fives over millions of high fives you've given, and put it in your arsenal, up on your wall, in a case that says, I, you know, gave high fives to 10,000 children, and be done with it. So I happen to agree with you both. So. All righty, gentlemen, you know, we've touched on some, you know, some interesting stuff today. Oh, let's talk about it Tuesday. I want to thank you for your contribution to today's conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Y'all too. God bless y'all.
Thank you. Thank you. Blessings. All right. Well, I did say, you know, I'm on assignment, so today would be a short day, and I always hate to end it early, but I will take the time to say thank you so much for hanging out with me today. You've been listening to It's Tea Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through today, please be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. It will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off. And I want to thank my deep counsel for always coming through big time. It's you for hanging out with us. Please take this opportunity to live Christ your life right now. Please take this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Let me say this benediction. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. Until tomorrow, God says, where it's Wow Wednesday. Until then, I love you.